I'm just gonna eat this brownie with a spoon.
Okay.
Do you want a spoonful of brownie?
I mean, how can I say no to that? You know the song. Just a spoonful of brownie helps a bad draft go down. Bad draft go down. A bad draft go down. Oh, yes, a spoon.
Nibble, don't. You're gonna burn your mouth.
Oh, it's hot. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Magic the Amateuring, where Megan feeds me a brownie on camera.
That's right, everyone. If you are listening to this, I'm really sorry, because you're about to hear Maria chewing a brownie. And if you're watching, you're about to see her eat it.
It's a delicious brownie, made fresh. This is a warm brownie.
Exactly. It is fresh made from a box.
Yep.
It is
by hand.
By hand, mm-hmm. But also prepackaged.
Yes.
Thank you so much to the wonderful people at Ghirardelli.
But you used your hands to make it, so it's handmade.
I did use, in fact, a whisk, a bowl, and the thing.
Spatula.
Thank
Got
you.
Got there.
Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. Hey, everybody. I'm back in the United States.
Yeah, welcome
and
back.
I am slightly jet-lagged still.
You know what? We're both sleep-deprived from separate magic events, but that's kind of the real crux of this show when you get this
The real
situation.
Crux of Magic the Amateuring is sleep deprivation.
Yes, yeah. I think it's a prime form for both you and I.
Yeah, I agree. It's certainly...
You made emotions like you're trying to grab the word out of the air.
Yeah, it certainly augments our assets.
Yes, I would agree with that.
I was originally going to say bigify.
Wow, because
I couldn't find the word augment in my brain.
To celebrate our sleep deprivation, we're celebrating with some warm brownies and you fine listeners.
That's right, everybody. This week on the show, we're going to talk about GP Pittsburgh because it just happened. Was Mardu Vehicles still turning that tournament into the Indy 500? Or did another deck manage to snatch the title from its teeth jaws?
A car with teeth this Saturday on Sci-Fi.
Doesn't Untethered Express have teeth?
You know what? It definitely has little rhino eyes.
Yeah, I think it has a full rhino face.
It's terrifying.
So we're also going to talk about the new, what's the word that I'm looking for? Is this thing right here in front of us?
Oh, yes. It is called the Throwback Standard Gauntlet.
That's right. It's another gauntlet. And Randy Buehler has selected some historic standard decks from a previous season. We'll talk more about it later. You can get on and play those gauntlet decks. Also, some sweet trips down memory lane, thanks to a listener gift.
It's so great.
Which we're not going to tell you any more about. You just have to be on the edge of your seat waiting for it.
It's going to be amazing, everybody.
That's right.
Megan, did you want to talk about, say, a few draft words as well this episode?
Yeah, we'll say a few draft words as well. Honestly, this opening has been very coherent for how I feel my brain is functioning.
Well, the very start of the show was real loose.
Yeah, the very start was.
we got it together.
Do you know what? Honestly, for the past minute that I've been talking, I've been anticipating my personal failure.
Oh, well, that's how I feel every day.
Yeah, don't we all? Don't we all?
Before we start the show, we have a couple people to thank. Card Kingdom, of course, being one of them, the sponsor of this show.
That's right. Head on over to cardkingdom.com/MTAcast for singles, for boosters, for everything in between, which is 2 to 14 cards.
It's you can just buy like rubber banded together. That's probably illegal.
No. Yeah. But like if you were buying 3 cards, that would be between a single and a booster.
It sure would.
As would 7 cards. Anyways,
that's your math lesson for today.
That's your math for the day. Head on over there, though, to cardkingdom.com, where you will not have to do math problems to purchase cards.
We guarantee it. We make so many great ads for Card Kingdom.
We really do.
We invented them basically a Tinder app the other episode. We have a great commercial, which basically makes it sound like every other place you buy magic cards forces
you
to
do
a math problem.
CardKingdom.com, we won't make you do a math problem.
We also have to say thank you to everybody who is a patron of our show on patreon.com/MTAcast.
That's right. Woo-hoo! Thank you all so much for being patrons of the show. You literally make it possible. That's a moment that I'm going to pause.
Okay, great. Yeah, welcome to all the new members of the Less Than 1% Club. that have had mm-hmm. we've had join mm-hmm. us. You can mm-hmm. chat with us on Discord if you're in the Less Than 1% Club, and you can have access to the Less Than 1% Club Facebook group. People are really using that Discord a lot. It's awesome. If you need help connecting, shoot us a message on Patreon, and we will get you connected.
That's
if
right.
you are a patron.
And very soon, November, December, January patrons, depending on your levels, you will be getting your rewards in the mail.
So get in there.
And for those of you that have earned your rewards and have not yet gotten them, I'm very sorry. That is my personal fault.
But
you will have them in your hands so soon.
You can buy our magnets on our website right
That's
there.
That's right.
They're behind me.
Check out those suckers.
Go over to magictheabitrink.com.
/MT. Nope.
Definitely not. I think it's slash like store or shop or something. magictheabitrink.com/MTAcast. We just want to make sure you're in the right place. Didn't mean to type.
Yeah, we nested else. Our website inside of another website.
It's like a Russian nesting doll.
Of websites.
Or a Cadbury egg with another website inside.
And the second one is leaky.
Yeah, our website's a little leaky, but, you know, I'm working on it, okay?
Yeah.
It's all right for now, I guess. Anyway, great show coming up for you. And great chances to win some prizes at the end of it, too.
Suck on that.
Rude. Hey, everybody. Just another standard corner this week in GP Pittsburgh. Last weekend, a tournament was held in which many Magic players convened to see if they could take down the dominant deck of Standard, which was kind of like put on a pedestal last weekend at the Pro Tour.
That's right. Or some of them just caved to the dark side.
Yep.
There's always going to be the people who think that the Empire is all right. Don't be one of those people.
Are you equating Mardu vehicles to the Empire right now?
Yeah.
I can't get behind that. I like that deck.
Well, Maria.
It plays, you know, Unlicensed Disintegration. That's just like a really good card.
Yeah. Have you ever looked at the art on Unlicensed Disintegration?
Yeah.
I've heard that if you put it close to your face and slowly pull it away, it becomes you see Darth Vader.
Holy crap.
It's one of those seeing eye puzzles.
I've heard that if you put Unlicensed Disintegration on your record player and play it backwards, it just says, no.
Oh, I've heard the same thing.
Yeah. So, you know.
I've heard that if you put it into like a tape player and you start playing it at the exact right moment when the lion roars when you're watching Wizard of Oz, it matches up perfectly. That's a soundtrack to it.
Wow. Unlicensed Disintegration really does it all.
It really does do it all. What a great card.
And stories around that card.
Absolutely.
But it was dominant at Pro Tour Aether Revolt.
Yes, it was.
A couple weekends ago when Megan was in Dublin. Mardu vehicles, as you know, 6 of 8 decks in the top 8.
And 1 through 6.
Yes. And everybody was wondering, is that going to be the same case when we go to Pittsburgh? Or are people going to metagame to what can beat Mardu vehicles?
Maria, you had a front seat.
I did.
You were right there in the feature match area.
Some could say I was close enough to touch the matches and push their cards off the table.
I think technically you were.
I was, and they would be correct.
The only thing that stopped you was yourself.
Yeah. There, only my wish not to get DCI permaban for life and fired from my job is the only thing that held me back.
Yeah, sometimes everybody, we hold ourselves back.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
I did have a front row seat. I was doing life totos at GP Pittsburgh, and it was great. It's always fun to sit there and watch the best players in the room battle it out in the feature match area. Mm-hmm. And what we witnessed this weekend was, I think, not really a surprise. There weren't very many Mardu vehicle decks running around. In fact,
interesting.
I would say the dominant deck was black-green, some kind of variant of black-green. So black-green showed up in a couple of different forms, notably in its delirium form. Featuring Ishike back in action.
Yeah.
So that one was not the most powerful. I would say a low to the ground energy sort of aggro version was more popular. And then there was kind of a mid-range black green deck as well. So there was a few different versions.
Interesting.
And, it was really cool to see how people had kind of innovated. Of course, Winding Constrictor, you know, a Snek deck.
Snek deck.
Snek, you know, Chief Snek. Just getting it done.
Yeah. So I heard someone say at the pro tour, they were like, winding constrictor into Rishkar is just like one of the best things that you can do.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Like how, you know, imagine like, you're playing Mardu vehicles. What do you do about that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Nothing. Lose.
I don't know. You have, let's see, how big is this snack? That's a big snack.
Yeah.
That would make it a 4-5 snack on turn 3.
Yeah.
That's a big snack.
That's a beating.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was it was crazy to see. One of the innovations was the vampire, the black 2/3.
Oh yeah, like, gifted Aetherborn. Yeah.
Life-linking vampire was added.
Ooh, lifelink death touch, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a great card, of course, if you're battling versus some aggressive decks to help push the race in your favor. So that was kind of another little interesting tidbit that we saw.
Very nice.
But, you know, overall, just your basic black-green going on. But the Mardu...
black-green going on.
Nissa was in the winning deck.
Oh, yeah. And which Nissa? Voice of Zendikar. The 3-mana?
Is this the winning deck, this one? Let's take a look. No, that's not it. But there
Ryan
it is.
Hare. Ryan Here we Hare. Go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nissa, Voice of Zendikar.
Yes. The 3-mana Nissa, which I was listening to the top match, and Ryan, who won the tournament, congratulations to him. He was playing this and his opponent was playing Mardu vehicles, and the opponent goes, yeah, Nissa's really good. And Ryan is like, yeah, I don't know why everybody's not playing this card in this deck because she gives counters.
Yeah.
And if you're playing with the snake, I think you want to give counters
yeah.
every way humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was a nice deck. And it was interesting to see the innovations that the second place finisher had with his Mardu Vehicles deck, one of which was Fumigate.
Ooh, Fumigate.
Two Fumigates.
Two Fumigates?
So
what are you saying with your mouth?
I'm saying that, like, you know...
Matt Long?
No.
No. Not him.
Not him. Not him.
Not this man.
Nope. Nope.
Not this man. Bronson Gervasi.
Bronson Gervasi, I think.
Gervasi.
I can't remember.
Sure.
I'm sorry. But
I'm probably saying it wrong.
Had, is that
Archipelago? Yeah.
Bronson had, some...
Oh, you had two Fumigates in the sideboard.
In the sideboard,
yeah,
yes.
Look at that.
Which was wonderful, of course, against black-green because their deal is they make a lot of big fat fatties and beat you up with them. And then you're just like, Fumigate. But you don't associate Fumigate with an aggressive deck.
Yeah.
You know, so it was kind of a neat tech that I saw that really, really helped him out.
Although thanks to, you know, Gideon and Heart of Kirin and Aethersphere Harvester. Yep. You've got some, you've got some ways too. If you fumigate, you're like, I'm all right.
You're like, I can come back from this.
I'm doing fine. Two copies of Release the Gremlins.
Yes, of course.
So many gremlins.
I was expecting way more gremlins to get released last weekend, I gotta be honest. But I never saw it. Maybe I saw it once.
There's also a copy of Jeskai Copycat in the top 8.
Yeah, there sure was.
Very exciting.
So Jeskai Copycat still out there, still fighting. It's a really neat deck to watch because you're always on the edge of your seat.
Yeah.
I was almost going to say, you're always on the seat of your pants. I don't really know what that would mean.
I personally always sit on the seat of my pants, but...
I sit on the
You
legs.
Might do it different.
I put
you
my
might
pants
do it
on
different.
Backwards and upside down.
Yeah.
Because you're always waiting, and, you know, the person playing this deck and the person against this deck is always waiting for the combo to happen.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, God, is it going to happen this turn?
Yeah. And I think it puts a lot of... So I was talking with someone about this, about how one of the weaknesses of the previous Jeskai deck, which didn't have
control.
This, just Jeskai control, was that, like, right, there's nothing to stop your opponent just from, like, jamming whatever the best card in their hand is every turn and seeing if you have a counterspell. But with this, it's really interesting because there comes a point, like, if you have a Sahelian play and... Maybe they have like a Gearhulk or something in their hand that they want to jam and start like pressuring you again. But if they do that, like they might just be dead.
Yeah.
Like it makes all of your opponents who want to be tapping out and casting these giant fatties every turn, it makes them second guess that. And that's a really powerful tool in a control deck strategy, is to have your opponent second guessing if they should just be jamming their best cards.
Right. And
instead
just
of like
there.
Just doing it.
Because guess what? If both players are sitting there not playing their cards, who's going to win that?
The control player.
Yes.
The control player the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
There's another deck that you would love, Megan, which we've seen sort of before.
in fact, we've kind of almost seen it exactly before, if not exactly before, and that is Blue-Red Fevered Visions Emerge.
What?
Yeah, so we saw this deck in, I want to say Hawaii.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it was back and performing.
Emerge?
Yeah.
What was emerging?
Elder Deep Fiend was emerging and tapping everything down. And so was the one that rips stuff out of your hand. That takes two cards.
Ooh, Distended Mindbender. Yes. That's a heck of a card.
And Fevered Visions, of course, is always fun to watch in action because you just get to see people drawing extra cards and being burned for it and all this kind of stuff. So that was kind of neat to see back in action. I'm not quite sure where it ended up in the tournament, but there were a few rounds with it, which you can watch, of course, the replays on YouTube or on Twitch, and you get to see it. So that was... who did I say was playing that? Ruben was playing that. So you can check out Blue-Red Fevered Emerge. And the other deck I wanted to mention was a Mono Black Zombies deck.
Ooh.
Which is some serious spice. And wound up in the feature measure, I think on round 3 or something, undefeated. I'm not sure how it ended the tournament because in the end, sometimes a lot of, you know, tribal, monocolor tribal decks are just more fun than they are actually good. But this deck seemed like a whole lot of fun. So, if you know, that sounds like the kind of thing you want to take to FNM. I think it could be, you know, moderately competitive, and it would just be really fun to play because it played things like Metallic Mimic and Named Vampire, and then just played a bunch of vampires. You know what
sweet.
I mean? So yeah, it was kind of cool.
Very sweet.
So that's what I saw from the coverage match area. You know, it was standard was happening all next to me.
Man, it was really standard.
It was all standard up in there.
Very standard.
Paul's first weekend, Paul Cheon doing some coverage.
Oh, nice.
Which was really great to see him doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, it didn't do nothing. I still want to play Mardu Vehicles. The guy who lost in the finals.
You're a monster.
Maybe. He was, he played fabulously.
Monster.
You monster.
You're a monster.
Look, I just want to play the best card in the format.
Which is?
A License Disintegration.
That's a really good card. I'm glad you didn't say Heart of Kirin.
No.
I would have slapped you.
No. Heart of Kirin's fine, but it's not unlicensed fine. D. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Hit me up with another piece of brownie here, Megan, while you tell me about draft, because I'm still majorly blowing at draft. Really bad. I continue to draft what I believe are sweet decks and are confirmed to be sweet decks by professional players. And then I lose, which has the effect of just making me feel like I'm terrible at Magic.
Well, I've been losing a lot of drafts also.
Okay.
But I've been playing a lot of drafts and they've been fun.
Yeah, it's so, fun losing. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Let's see. I did draft a deck the other day that was, like, so many 5-drops, and I was just like, you know what? Freak it, man. I took, like, a Ridgescale Tusker first over a green rare, over Rishkar's Expertise.
Oh, wow.
I took the Tusker. I was just like, do you know what? This feels correct.
But do you know you can cast a Tusker with the Expertise?
That's true.
Can you, or is
but
it
I'm
six?
Never... No, it's 5.
Okay.
It's 5. Tusker is 5, and...
You should have just been like, let me take the Expertise and this, because they just go together.
They really do. And so, what was I going to... So I drafted, and then I took, like, 3 Lifecraft Cavalries. Every single one that came around, I was like, yeah, this card is just sick.
It is.
So I'm just going to take it. So I ended up... God, what was my other color pair in that? It was, like, base green. And then I think I had, like, a little bit of white.
How'd it do?
It went 2-1.
That's the best I've been able to manage.
It was, like, fine. And it did feel, like, do you know what? I did not get super punished for playing, like, 6 5-drops.
Weird, because it's so, because I hear, oh, this format's so aggressive, you have to prioritize 2-drops, and the 2-1 that pings, Weldfast Engineer, whatever, is so good.
Like, I did not have an issue. Eventually, like, sure, my life total would get down to, like, 6 or 7 before I'd stabilize. But then it's like, if you play Lifecraft Cavalry, it's like, that what are you going to do about it? Oh no. So it was green, white. And then I was splashing blue for two blue implements, which was the best idea of all time.
Why?
Well, because I, so one,
to
I had
get your cavalry online.
Well, I didn't really need it because I had two copies of Unbridled Growth.
Oh, okay.
And a Renegade map and one island. So I had all these things to sacrifice anyways. And I had a lot of access to blue. And it just was like, do you know what? When you flood, it's so bad.
It is.
But do you know what? If you and your opponent are both flooding and you draw that implement and you're able to draw two cards off of it, it's so good.
And green is the best color is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I feel. Like, literally, if you play a 6-6 Lifecraft Cavalry on turn 5, what are they going to do?
They have to kill it?
Like, it's
or fly over
it? It's a giant 6-6. Yeah, it's great. I had a Felidar Guardian, which I love in the Revolt deck, because I also had, like, the 4-3 flyer that where you gain 5 life. So it's so sick. Like, sometimes if you don't have Revolt, you just, like, play the Cavalry. The next turn you flicker it with the Guardian, it comes back as a 6-6. Nice. Like,
and you remember here at the beginning of this format, you said you liked the 6-6 vehicle. What is it called?
Iron Tread Crusher.
Yes.
Still like it.
I still like it as well.
Still good.
And, you know, I was thinking about why is it so good? We kind of had that question in our heads.
It's just a big, stupid 6-6.
Correct. And there are more creatures with, common creatures with 3 power toughness. I mean, power. So, like,
you can crew it really easily.
So, I still think that's good as well. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I'm going to continue to see if I can figure things out, but, you know, the clock is ticking.
Today I drafted a sick one that was, I've only played one round with it, and I lost to not drawing islands in my last game. Sad. It was very sad. But it was blue-black improvise. It was really good.
Oh, cool.
I have 2 Bastion Enforcer, 2 Fen Haulers, like 6 artifacts that cost 1 or 2 mana.
What's a fen?
A fen? It's kind of like a bog or a swamp.
So they're like hauling that swamp.
Yeah, they're swamp hauling.
I was hauling swamp all day yesterday.
Oh, man, am I tired?
Hauling swamp does not mean tired.
Hauling swamp
means I went several days without showering.
Oh, yeah.
And still, so this was true.
I haul swamp all the time.
I feel like you say it when you, like, are working really hard and haven't been able to shower. So this is true of, like, most GPs or whatever that I'm doing.
Yeah, you're hauling swamp right now.
Sorry, everybody, if I smelled up the feature match area.
But I was just hauling swamp. What are you going to do? I have 1 copy of Tezzeret's Touch.
Yeah.
I haven't cast it on anything yet.
Okay.
I have a Baral's Expertise. That card is sick.
Yeah, it is.
It's very good. It's very good. Not when you don't have any islands.
No, you need those.
It is quite bad when you have no islands.
Turns out you need those sometimes.
But the rest of the time, it's really sick.
So I team drafted after this GP, and I had a hand where I'd mulled to 6, and I drew, and I was green-blue, which I do believe is worse in Aether Revolt because you don't have as much energy to play around with or benefits to having energy.
Mm-hmm.
But I drafted it and I had some really sweet cards. Anyway, my sixth hand was 4 islands and then my Iron Tread Crusher and my Untethered Express. Just the saddest hand.
Keep it.
I did keep it.
Snap keep.
So sad. Of course I lost, but I just looked at that and it was, for some reason, just tickled my funny bone. Oh. Anyway. Yeah, I'm going to keep on keeping on. For you out there in listener land, we're going to keep drafting till we crack this egg.
Yeah.
We won't stop. We can't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Believe in. Standard Gauntlet.
Hey everybody, there is a new Gauntlet available on Magic Online. So starting
on the 22nd?
Yes. So is that the correct time? Yes. February 22nd, there is going to be the very first of these throwback Standard Gauntlets. This one is 1997 to 1998 Mirage Tempest Standard.
This is great because Megan and I have only been playing for about 4.5 years or so, yeah. And so we never were playing back in these days.
Goodness,
the wild, wild west of Standard and Magic.
Yeah, it's just, we have no idea what's going on. Many people will have no idea what's going on, but you can hop on and play some decks. So in this case, he's made an aggro deck, control, combo, and mid-range. So these are, you know, you hop in the gauntlet and you're going to get assigned one of these decks.
Randomly. And then you play against somebody else who is assigned a deck randomly. It's really fun because you never know what you're going to get. And you can play a couple of different times and get assigned different decks. And these decks look sweet.
Yeah, man. Okay, so this one is called Dead Guy Red.
First of all, great name.
Yeah. It is, you know, it's a red deck. It's a red aggro deck. It has 4 ball lightning, which is red for trample haste.
6-1.
6-1. At the beginning of the end step, you sacrifice it.
How is that a card? That's so good.
So, let's see. Goblin Vandal, which is a red 1-1 that can destroy an artifact. Let's see.
Jackal Pup. You're pretty classic, famous.
Yeah, classic Jackal Pup. Mog Fanatic. Mog Flunkies.
Yeah.
Viashino Sandstalker. 4-2 for 1 red.
Haste.
With haste. And a 4 fire slinger, which is a 1-1 for 1 and a red that deals 1 damage to target creature.
4 copies of Shock, just because, you know, this was back in the day when that existed.
Oh, it has Fire Blast. So 4 red, or you can sacrifice 2 mountains, deals 4 damage to creature or player.
Okay.
Incinerate, 3 damage to creature or player, and 4 Shock, and 4 Cursed Scroll.
Sweet.
Very cool.
So these decks are all pretty famous.
Oh, and 4 Wasteland.
Well, Wasteland and Standard. I'm in. These decks are pretty famous and were part of the Dojo, which was an early Magic website where people would go on and post decks. And these were kind of like the greatest decks of that time, which is really cool. Yeah. And if you go on to Daily MTG, each one of these decks has a cute little story about it underneath.
Yeah.
Which is really neat to kind of see the history behind these decks, as well as the cards themselves that you could play. So obviously, I'm pretty into this deck. This seems fun, even though I wouldn't classify myself technically as a mono red player. Just beating someone down for 6 for 3 mana seems like a good time to me.
Yeah.
What can I say? But this deck seems more your speed, Megan.
This is me. It's called Drago.
It's literally called Drago.
Oh, hello, friend. It has,
oh boy,
1 Rainbow of Free, which is a 3-1 flyer for 3 and a blue.
Only 1 creature. Interesting.
1 creature with which to kill
Sounds
people.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Beautiful. It has Counterspell. It has Dismiss. It has Dissipate. And it's Forbid. It has Force Spike, Impulse, Mana Leak, Memory Lapse, Whispers of the Muse. What is this? Oh, draw a card. Hello,
It
friend.
Has buyback, so yeah. Just keep doing it forever, basically.
Doing it forever. Nevenirl's Disc, Island, 4 Quicksand. What is this? Oh, sacrifice it. Target attacking creature without flying. It's -1/-2. All right. Well, you guys. Oh, look, it has a land that can become a creature.
Oh, okay.
It can become a 3/3 for 6 mana. Holy cow.
Rainbow Efreet, what was the ability on it? Blue, phase out.
What does that mean?
So let's guess, because I don't know.
You Me neither. Know?
Phase out, I want to say blinks it.
Yeah, that seems correct.
Phase out. But that's so strong.
I mean, let's see. Phasing.
No. Oh, wait.
Wait. Okay, so let's see. Phasing is a keyword ability that causes permanents to phase in and phase out. During each player's untap step...
No, wait. This can't be it. This seems like some kind of rules
this is
thing.
Different. Okay, what if I just...
Go back.
What? Okay, I'm just going to Google Rainbow Efreet WTF.
There used to be a segment on this show called Ask Siri, so I'm thinking I want to bring that back.
Yeah, you go for it.
Which hopefully one day will be replaced with Ask Alexa. Fingers crossed, my birthday's coming up. Mom, are you listening? Hey, Siri, what does phase out on a Magic card mean?
Let me check on that.
Oh.
Okay, I found this on the web for Siri. What is phase out on a Magic card mean?
It's working. Wow, my Siri is so slow these days.
Okay, so...
Siri just quit. She couldn't even get behind
it. She was like, no. Okay. I still don't know. It looks like it flickers it, essentially, or it like flickers it and then it comes back later.
People who know are screaming at their radios right now. Okay, phase out.
At the radios, everyone
listens on the radio. You know, we have. Didn't you know we're on NPR now?
Mm-hmm.
Phased out. It's like it has a colon, so.
Yeah, so you have to pay the costs. You guys, oh, rainbow free explanations for casuals. Yes, please.
That's us.
Hello. And I don't have a clue how to explain to my buddies exactly how it works. So back when combat damage used the stack, apparently with the damage that the dealt to the Ifrit on the stack, you could phase it out.
So it is kind of like blinking it.
Yeah. But it can't do that anymore because...
So it's just
obviously not the stack anymore. Let's see.
But I wonder if it still lets you blink it, though.
You know? It does. Yeah, you can still blink it. You just can't respond.
Yeah.
You just can't do it to have it deal damage and then escape not. Damage. Yes.
That seems unfair. It's too bad.
What phasing out does nowadays,
okay.
Basically, it makes it so the permanent is considered to stop existing by everything that would care about it, but it doesn't leave the battlefield or enter it when it phases back in during the untap step.
What? All right. Just ghosts on in there, I guess.
Yeah, so it ghosts.
New keyword.
It's there.
Ghosts. Okay. Well, Megan's going to be crossing her fingers for Drago. This deck seems like an absolute flipping nightmare, but go ahead. Beautiful. Have fun with it, you monster.
Beautiful.
Another famous deck, White Weenie, will be able to be played here, and it's kind of the traditional White Weenie deck, so it's got a lot of little one-ones for one and some two-twos for two, and, you know, Soul Warden.
Soul Warden. Yeah. Nice.
This deck's pretty cool. It's just your classic. These seem like really cool decks to play, too, because you're going to learn what Magic kind of used to be and where we base our decks off of today.
Yeah. Okay, wait. There's this one called Prose Bloom.
Okay.
Which seems weird. So it says it's the first good combo deck in the history of Standard.
Oh, that's cool.
Hmm. So let's see. You guys go read the description because I'm not going to delve into it. I don't understand what's going on.
Sure, we'll just
take it. But it seems awesome. Seems like a
combo deck.
Yeah. All right.
What's next?
That's it?
No, there's more.
What? There's more? You're right.
Yeah.
Rexxer. What is this?
It stands for Recurring Nightmare and Survival of the Fittest.
Oh, look at that.
So this is kind of like a reanimation is a little bit of happening here.
Yeah, it must be.
Mana War is in this deck.
It lets you discard cards and then recur them with Recurring Nightmare.
Cool.
So you discard with Survival. Classic four Birds of Paradise.
Yeah, but it's green black, which is a little interesting. And blue.
Yeah.
And red? What?
Well, man, if you're just discarding them and
guess
then
it doesn't matter.
And then reanimating them, who cares? And look at all these one ofs. Thrall Surgeon. Tradewind Rider. I don't know that one. Spirit of the Night. Six black for a 6/5 flying trample protection from black. First strike when attacking, unaffected by summoning sickness. So haste. Wow.
You know what's funny? The 6/5 first striker, haste, flying trample protection from black would probably not cost 9 today, or would it?
No, it seems like not. It dies. Seems like it dies pretty easy. I guess, well, no.
Doesn't die to Doomblade.
It doesn't die to Doomblade. That's very true.
More ways than one.
Who knows what it would cost?
Forbidden. What the heck?
Forbidden.
Okay.
Forbidden. So because it's for Ophidian.
Oh my gosh. It's a portmanteau.
Yes.
How could you not love this deck?
And three forbid. So Forbidden.
Oh my gosh. I love it. Okay, great.
So Ophidian says, whenever it attacks and isn't blocked, you may draw a card. If you do, it doesn't deal combat damage.
All right.
So there you go. It's a 1/3 for three. Interesting.
A deck called Godzilla.
Ooh, that's exciting. Because it has a card called Hidden Horror. That's creepy art.
Oh, this seems like a more traditional reanimation deck with Animate Dead and Necromancy.
Oh, yeah, look at that. It is.
That's cool. Shivan Dragons in this deck. The first, like, dragon that people usually remember.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very, very cool. And Suicide Black.
Wow. This is Black Aggro.
Yeah. Sewer Rats.
Which is neat because not a lot of cubes have a black aggro deck inside them.
Yeah. And Oath of Druids!
We know this deck.
Its only creature is two copies of Archangel.
Wow.
For 5WW, it is a 5/5 with flying and vigilance.
Okay.
It's a very...
It's just simple.
It's like, fine. Okay, sure. Seems all right.
I'll go get my two Archangels. It's fine.
Awesome. All right.
So yeah, hop on to Magic Online starting from the 22nd for your chance to play one of these decks in the throwback Standard Gauntlet. We'll hopefully be playing some of them and doing some streaming with them because this seems fun.
Seems pretty sweet.
It's the moment we've all been waiting for that we teased at the start of the show, which is we're going to take a trip down memory lane thanks to our listener, Simon, who made us a glorious, if you want to call it a mini cube, of some of our create a cards from the show's past. So if you're familiar with Magic the Amateuring, we've been around for 212 episodes now. And for a lot of those episodes, we had a segment called create a card, which we really should bring back because it was a fantastic segment. Yes. And what we did is we made a card based on some of the more ridiculous things we had said in that episode. And what Simon did was he kept a list of what we said in those shows.
Yes.
And made them real.
Into real cards.
He mailed them to us. He mailed them to us. That is the sound of some real cards.
He found amazing artwork.
Yeah. I mean.
For them.
He made tokens.
Yeah.
To go with our cards and made tokens.
Oh, there has to be. Is there bees?
Oh, yeah, there's bees. I definitely saw it.
Put 10 bees.
Some of these we remember and some of them we don't.
We really don't. This one I do.
Okay, what's
that
one?
So we're just going to start reading some of them and we'll try and take take the trip.
So good.
Truck of Bears.
Okay.
7 and a green sorcery. Put 10 2/2 green bear creature tokens onto the battlefield. At the beginning of your next end step, if there is no enchantment named Bear It All on the battlefield, destroy all bears.
Wow. How much does that cost?
7 and a green for 10 2/2 bears. But you have to have bear it all in play.
It's a little combo there.
Yeah.
So this card I also remember, which is just fabulous. It's called Ghosty. It costs 0 and it's a 0/0. When Ghosty is put into your graveyard from the battlefield, draw a card. The flavor text, Ghosty is a really great guy.
I do, I don't remember making that card, but I remember Ghosty is a really great guy.
Yeah, so do I. I love that it's just a cantrip, but it's like on a worthless creature. That just makes me happy. I love that card.
I mean, it's just like a cycler for 0.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, I play that.
Let's see, Shamrock Shake. 2 and a green for a 4/1 creature milkshake. With the brings all the boys to the yard. When Shamrock Shake enters the battlefield, if you control 4 or more milkshakes, target opponent sacrifices all creatures he or she controls.
There's definitely a milkshake sub theme.
Brings all the boys to the yard being the keyword.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, that's a great keyword. Yeah. Key phrase, I think they might have to consider that.
A key phrase.
Here's a card, Double Date. Costs a single green sorcery. You and target opponent each put 2/1/1 human creature tokens onto the battlefield. Flip a coin. If you win the flip, Double Date becomes an enchantment aura attached to target human creature token you control and reads, at the beginning of your upkeep, put a pregnancy counter on Double Date. Then, if Double Date has 9 pregnancy counters on it, put it into the graveyard and put a 1/1 human baby creature token onto the battlefield. That's the worst card.
Yes. It's a terrible card.
It takes for flipping ever. And, like, you're not always going to win that coin toss.
No.
And then what do you get? This dumb 1/1.
That stupid 1/1.
It's almost like a real pregnancy.
This one is Worm. The first one with an O and the second one with a U.
Oh, yeah.
I do remember this because we were talking about how it's Worm with a U. It's a single green for a 1/1 creature worm. What is the word that I'm looking for?
What?
Mechanic.
With a mechanic?
Mechanic early bird. On the turn after you play Worm, if a creature with flying enters the battlefield under your control, Worm becomes a worm with base power and toughness 5/5 and trample.
Classic.
Worm becomes a worm. Some of my favorite.
This one is part of the milkshake sub theme, which I most certainly invented. Suck tube. It costs 2 and it's got, Obama using a straw as the art.
It's great.
3 tap it. Destroy target milkshake. You gain 3 life. Artifact.
Yeah. Chain of Muggers.
I have 2 in a red. Of that.
Gain control of target artifact, creature, or enchantment. Then that target's previous controller may pay 3 life to copy the spell. He or she may choose new targets for the copy. Chain of muggers.
I have no memory of that one.
No memory.
Here's one, cock block. And the art is so fabulous because it's a little block-shaped chicken.
That's so cute.
One and a white for an instant. Exile target male creature or planeswalker. Strong. Perfect. This takes Gideon right down, okay?
Yeah, Gideon, going get down. Out of here, buddy. Unflinching cougar. 2 and a black for a 5/5 creature human cat. Unflinching cougar can only attack or block if an opponent controls a creature with power or toughness equal to or greater than the power or toughness of unflinching cougar, minus the number of facelift counters on unflinching cougar.
Oh, yeah.
1 and a black, put a facelift counter on unflinching cougar.
I remember that one. Oh, my God. Some of these. Okay, this one's adorable. Red panda. You can pay either a green or a white mana, a hybrid. 1/1. It's a beast. Indestructible. Red panda enters the battlefield tapped. Red panda doesn't untap during your untap step unless you control no other creatures. Flavor text: hey guys, what's going on?
Oh, sleepy little red panda. Armadillo clock.
I remember this.
I remember armadillo clock. 4 mana for an artifact creature construct. It's a 2/2. At the beginning of your upkeep, put a time counter on armadillo clock. Tap, sacrifice armadillo clock. Armadillo clock deals damage equal to the number of time counters on it to target creature or player. Yeah. Seems classic.
Dirty turtle. It's a 1/4, of course, because it's a turtle. For 2 and a blue. Peek. Whenever Dirty Turtle deals combat damage to a player, you may look at that player's hand. Like, would you play this?
It
costs too much, probably.
Yeah,
huh?
I think it costs too much.
But that's like pretty strong.
Yeah. 1 and a red. This is Ogre Attacker Blocker. 1 and a red for a 4/5. Whenever Ogre Attacker Blocker attacks, defending player puts a copy of a Ogre Attacker Blocker into play, blocking Ogre Attacker Blocker.
My God.
Whenever Ogre Attacker Blocker blocks, attacking player puts a copy of Ogre Attacker Blocker into play, being blocked by Ogre Attacker Blocker. Copies of Ogre Attacker Blocker have no abilities. Exile all copies of Ogre Attacker Blocker at end of combat.
I got tired just listening to that.
Great.
Here's Baradol. 3 green, green, green. Tribal enchantment, bear. It's somebody naked in the woods just like being like, freedom! All permanents except Baradol are 2/2 green bear creatures. So there you go. There's Baradol.
There's
you
Baradol. Need that. All permanents except Baradol are 2/2 green.
So like all lands are bears, yeah.
Surprise Duke. Black red for a 2/2 flash haste with mechanic King Me. Sacrifice surprise Duke. Put 2+1/+1 counters on target creature.
Oh, that must be when we were playing the game Duke a lot.
Oh, that's right. I remember that game.
Yeah, it was an interesting game.
It was an interesting game.
Kool-Aid Man, 3 and a red. Legendary artifact creature drink. 4/3. Whenever Kool-Aid Man attacks.
Creature drink.
Destroy target creature with defender. Oh, yeah. Nice. I don't know why this doesn't have haste.
It should. Johnny Goldmane.
Yes, Johnny Goldmane!
Johnny Goldmane, 2 red, white, 4 loyalty, +1, up to 1 target creature you control gains haste until end of turn, -2, put a 3/1 red hot rod artifact creature token with haste onto the battlefield. These days, that would be a vehicle.
Yeah, yep. We called it.
Put +3/1 hot rod artifact creature tokens with haste onto the battlefield where X is the number of creatures you control. Johnny Goldmane.
I've got another planeswalker for you. Nicholas Bolas.
I love Nicholas.
Nicholas Bolas. It costs 1 white, so let's see what he does. Loyalty 2. +1. Target creature gets +0/+1 until end of turn. -1. Tap target creature. -4. Tap all planeswalkers your opponents control and they don't untap to the untap step.
I mean, good against Gideon.
Sure. I'm just going to play cock black,
it's
honestly.
Probably the worst way to get rid of a Gideon.
Oh, man. These are great.
Yeah.
Wow.
Avalanche of Defeat.
Okay.
2 red, red, red. Destroy target land and all other lands with the same name as that land.
Wow.
Whew.
Brutal.
Yeah.
What about Swamp Ass Walker? 1 in a black for a 2/1 creature goblin. Swamp Walk. We all know that, but it also is ass walk. This creature can be blocked by creatures with toughness 4 or greater.
I love ass walk.
Makes sense. Yep.
Sneak Tingle.
Oh boy.
Two in a blue enchantment. Aura, enchant creature. Enchanted creature is unblockable. Whenever enchanted creature deals combat damage to a player, that player gets a tickle counter. When a player has 5 tickle counters, remove them. Then that player skips his or her next turn.
Whoa.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Actual boggle. 2 and hybrid green blue. 4/4. Hexproof. When you cast actual boggle, play a 1-minute round of boggle with target opponent. If you don't win, put actual boggle in your graveyard. This is a boggle with 2 G's, not a bogle. Flavor text. That's good. So this was like, this one we said was overpowered. OP, single sort land recycling, 3 in a hybrid red green mana, sacrifice a land, draw a card, enchantment.
Here's our B!
The B token! So Eric Holler Bees has to be in here somewhere.
What is this one? Vlasic Pickle.
My gosh.
2 black green, it's a planeswalker, Vlasic. 4 loyalty, +1, put a sour counter on target creature. -2, exile target creature with a sour counter on it. -9, return all permanents exiled with Vlasic Pickle to the battlefield under your control.
That's awesome. I don't have Eric in this stack, but...
Steroids. Hybrid black-red. Enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets +3/+3 and has cumulative upkeep 1. Combo melon.
Oh boy.
Green, defender, red, 03, red, sacrifice combo melon. Target creature gets +3/+0 until end of turn.
Oh, do you remember this card? I don't know if you were there. This one might have been a Megan in Europe card. It's my birthday. Single white mana. Creatures can't attack this turn. Instant. Guys! That's the flavor text. I feel like Nell's invented that card.
That seems correct.
I have another planeswalker, Pizza McSalsa.
Oh, that's right. I remember Pizza McSalsa. Yeah.
This art is horrifying. 3 red white for a 4 loyalty planeswalker pizza. Put 2/1/1 black pepper creature tokens into play under your control for +1. -1, exchange control of target creature you control, target creature you don't control. Well, that's pretty powerful. -8, put all creature cards from your library into play. Exile the rest of your library. Okay. You're really going all in. Don't fumigate me, bro. Stupid in a good way.
Caesar Salad, land enchantment artifact creature. It's just an 0/1. Tap, add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool. But I just like Caesar Salad.
That's cute.
Let's see. Hover Tube. 2 mana for an artifact creature tube. It's an 0/0 with flying. As an additional cost to cast Hover Tube, exile X creatures you control. Hover Tube enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters on it. When Hover Tube is put into a graveyard from anywhere, return all creatures exiled with it to the battlefield under your control. Interesting.
There are more milkshakes, like 1-drop pop. That's a milkshake in here. It's an aura. Enchant milkshake creature for hybrid green-white mana. Enchanted creature gets 1/1 and hexproof. It's afloat in addition to its other types.
Bear champion. 2 hybrid green white. Bear knight. 4/4. Flash. Champion a bear. When this enters the battlefield, sacrifice it unless you exile another bear you control. When this leaves the battlefield, return that card to the battlefield.
Forehead birth. Do you remember this one?
No.
I remembered for some reason. Just the name. 1 in a red. Sorcery. Without looking, take the top card of your library and hold it against your forehead with the front-facing target opponent. He or she must tell you 4 facts about the card, choosing between its type, converted mana cost, color, or a noun, verb, or adjective from the text box. If you can guess the card in 2 tries, you may cast it without paying its mana cost. Holy crap! Or if it's a land, put it onto the battlefield. Otherwise, put it in your graveyard. Oh my gosh. That is great. Broken AF in standard right there.
And it's because it's from the art from Opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one I just like because they used the art from Muldrifter.
Yeah.
It's called Wet Fish.
Oh, did I sometimes... Is this because I told the story of my first kiss on the show?
Maybe. 2 blue, 2/3... Yeah, the flavor text is Maria's first kiss.
All right, there it is.
Flying. Whenever wet fish deals combat damage to a player, put a wet counter on target land that players control. Lands with wet counters on them are islands.
You don't even need to play Blood Moon anymore.
Well. Wet counters. Oh, Romeo and Juliet. I loved this one. So this is two white black. Romeo, you can tap it and sacrifice a creature to flip Romeo, and then becomes Juliet. Tap, flip Juliet, destroy target creature.
That's a good card.
It's pretty.
Yeah.
This will be the last one.
Okay.
Shirtless Germans.
Oh, shirtless
Germans. Three red, creature, human, haste. It's a 0/0, but it enters the battlefield with 6+1/+1 counters on it. At the beginning of your upkeep, remove a counter from Shirtless Germans. That was because I told the story of how I was in that hostel in Berlin.
Yeah.
And, like, all of the, like, literally all these German dudes just, like, slept shirtless. And it was like a room that was like half and half, maybe like half women, half dudes. And I was like, sure, dudes.
All right.
Bunch of shirtless Germans. All right,
you shirtless Germans.
All right, you shirtless Germans.
Thank you again to Simon for providing us with this wonderful deck of cards that we've created on the show. He said a good thing to do with it would be to Winston draft it. So we definitely are going to do that because this is too hilarious not to. And hopefully we will also bring back the Create a Card segment because this is just a great time looking through these. Our show, but before we go, we have some business to take care of, and that is making two people winners.
That's right.
I mean, they
one of them
were.
Of this a Johnny Unyielding and stack of other cards that we have opened in various flavor text theaters this month.
Yes.
And Maria, who is the lucky winner? Oh, this is an overall patron of these wonderful cards
from any time or place. The winner is Hanami Bright.
Hanami Bright, yay!
A $10 patron. So thank you so very much, Hanami, for your support. You're gonna go home with this fabulous stack of cards plus a couple of unopened boosters because you know you're just so great. We'll mail that out to you. Thank you for your support. Hanami is our big winner. Jump up and down and celebrate if that's you.
We also have a playmat for someone who joined just in January.
Yes, so this is for a new person.
New patron of the show, and that is Andrew from Shorewood, Wisconsin.
Yay, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew, for becoming a patron in January. We so appreciate it, and we will be sending that playmat your way.
So lots of great reasons to become a patron. You have a chance to win at these drawings. You can join in our Discord and Facebook chats. Mm-hmm. And of course, you can just get the good feeling that you're supporting something that brings you happiness or joy in any kind of way during the month. I know I always
only
feel
happiness
better.
Or joy.
If it brings you anything else.
Not both, though. And not both.
And not both, certainly.
Certainly not both.
I get a happy little tingle feeling when I see my pledges for Patreon go through. So hopefully you guys do too.
Yeah.
You know, because it means a lot to us. And we want to keep making you more and more content. And every time we get a new patron, we get a little bit closer to being able to just create content for you pretty much nonstop. So
that's right. Thank you again to our sponsors, cardkingdom.com. Head on over to cardkingdom.com/MTAcast or check out one of their sick ass stores in Seattle, man.
Yeah, those stores are
great.
If
you are in Seattle, you gotta go because they are baller.
And if you ask for a sticker in your order from Card Kingdom from Magic the Amateuring,
you can get one.
They will put one in there for you.
They will put one in there.
Free of charge.
Look at that.
So I'm just saying. Think about it. I apologize. Also, check out our YouTube channel, youtube.com/MTAcast. Mm-hmm. Tons of great videos up there right now.
Including my Modern Elves deck tech.
Yeah, it's sweet.
Do you want to hear my metaphor for being, you know, both resilient and explosive? Go check out the video.
Yeah, it's great. Do you want to hear Megan sing Alanis Morissette?
Go check out the video. That's a promise. It's already in there.
And make sure to sub because that's how you know when we post new sweet content. And if gameplay is more your thing, you can go to youtube.com/MTAplays to watch our playing videos on Magic Online. So that's our stuff and Cube April, who is our Cube connoisseur and helps us out by recording those. So great content on both of our YouTube channels, free of charge.
For you.
Anyway, thanks for listening. Find us on Twitter at MTAcast, facebook.com/MTAcast. You know, if it says /MTAcast after, you know, just try it out. See if it works.
Yeah.
Probably will.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll catch you back here, you know, more into February, deeper into the shortest month. Somehow managed to sound dirty when talking about days and months.
Yep.
Well done.
Deeper into the shortest.